There's another aspect going on in consciousness that's very interesting, that will be very helpful to you also. Something you can observe within yourself, something I picked up within myself and saw it happening. The cycle in the past has been to be run by this hunger, appetite, satiation, and then guilt. What happens is your good intentions suddenly flew out the window. The good intentions that you had about taking off weight and dieting and all that have disappeared somewhere. And after you have filled yourself up with far more than you knew you needed, suddenly you go into a feeling of the self-disgust and guilt. And people who have severe eating problems often do that. They go in the bathroom and throw all the food back up again, and they go into self-hatred and guilt and even suicidal depressions. The self-hatred becomes severe, the blame. So what is going on here? Well, what I saw happening was when you sit down to eat, the one who wants to take off weight and all this is the adult in us. You remember Eric Byrne, the transactional analysis? And a lot of people in that kind of psychological work have talked about our child tape, our adult tape, and our parent tape. It's like there's three voices within us. One is the child, one is the adult, who is the rational, intelligent, educated person, and one is the parent, who tends to be punitive, who tends to be moralistic. The parent tape is the one that tells you about right and wrong. So you'll see that this is what's been happening, is as you sit down to the table or as you walk into the refrigerator, is you go unconscious. You go unconscious, and what happens is the child takes over. Now, what does a child know about diet, weight, calories? Nothing. The consciousness of the child is, I want and I satisfy, I get. So what happens is we go into, without realizing it, a different state of consciousness in which who's in the refrigerator poking around? The child is. Who's ordering a second hot fudge sundae? The child is. Who's having a second helping of potatoes and gravy? The child is. And after we indulge the child then, without realizing this is what's going on, and after the meal is over, what happens now is the child leaves. He's had his fill. And who takes his place? The parent. The parent says, how could you have been so stupid? Why did you have seconds? Why did you add a piece of pie? Why did you put ice cream on top of the pie? I mean, think of the calories. You are really stupid. You're really weak. You don't have any willpower. You're no good. Your self-worth is rotten. So now what happens is you're subjected to the angry parent blaming you. Blaming who? Blaming the child. And where has the adult been all this time? He's been out to lunch. He wasn't there at mealtime, and he isn't there after mealtime. The child and the parent have taken over the whole eating program. And isn't that natural? Because where did these eating patterns set up in the first place? They set up with the child. And who's sitting next to the child but the parent? So the child and the parent tapes have been running the whole eating pattern. The adult hasn't had a chance. Now, the way to counteract this, then, is to be aware that this pattern is running. Just to be aware of it already begins to change it. And now, you make a note to yourself. You can put it on the table. You can put it on the refrigerator. And call forth consciously your adult. And I tell my child, look, this is a place for an adult now. Because my adult is very conscious of this eating. My adult knows about calories. My adult knows all these things. And so I consciously call forth my adult to be there at the meal. I consciously summon him forth. I say, the adult me is here now. And I consciously reject the presence of the child. Now, because the overindulgence doesn't happen, when the meal is over, my adult stays there. No parent comes in to blame me for what's been done because no crime has been committed. The crime is not committed by the adult. The crime is committed by the child. So allowing ourselves then to go unconscious when we eat. We don't mean unconscious like pass out. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that aspect of our personality that comes forth. We're not aware that it's the child now coming in to take over. And the child doesn't care about weight. The child doesn't care about having a good figure. These are not things that bother a child. These are things that bother the parent, right? So we want the adult to take over the actual experience of eating, not the child and not the angry punitive parent. We don't want to be at the effect of either one of them. This is no place now for the child because he has no self-control and no intelligence about such matters. And we don't want the parent there because the parent is into the no, no, no and the self-blame and the self-hatred. So let's get rid of them at mealtime. We'd send the child out to play, and we'll tell the parent to go take a nap, and we'll tell them it's time for the adult to come forth now. These you'll find work extremely well. You see, it doesn't take willpower, it doesn't take self-control, it doesn't take resisting anything, it just takes being aware. Be aware. So you sit down, you say hello to your adult, and when you sit down to eat, be conscious. And I've watched myself do this. Just as you sit down at the dinner table, you watch the kid come up in you. Oh, look, who is that that's there at the table? Oh, wow, look at the pile of mashed potatoes, look at the gravy. I mean, you watch people's face when they sit down at the table and you'll see who's up in them. You see the eyes pop open, you watch the pupils go like that. If that isn't a five-year-old kid, I never saw one. So you see a businessman, he walks into the restaurant and he's got his briefcase and he's so serious and he goes down the cafeteria line and he sits down, watch his face now as he puts his napkin in front of him. He picks up his napkin, he goes, somebody else is there already, isn't it? There's the kid already to have a good time. And of course, after he leaves, he gets up, he folds his paper, and now you see, oh, I ate too much. Instantly, now who's there? Look at the frown, and he's already berating himself as he walks out of the restaurant. He's counting all the calories in his mind. He just ate 3,850 calories for dinner. And his doctor told him he's only supposed to eat 900 calories a day. He figures he can't eat till next Tuesday now. And how is he going to survive? So how to break out of this self-defeating pattern? Just by being aware. Make a little sign for yourself that says, hello, adult. Be conscious, beware, who's there? You'll find that the adult enjoys eating a great deal too. He just doesn't go crazy so easily. We want to avoid a fluctuating blood sugar as much as possible when we're first initiating this program. Because in the unconscious, a drop in blood sugar is often associated in the mind with hunger and hungry feelings. So if we, on an empty stomach, for instance, eat a hot fudge sundae, then you'll watch the blood sugar shoots up like this, and then adrenaline is poured out and insulin is poured out, and you'll see what happens is the blood sugar then tends to drop rapidly. Behaviorally, in the past, we have associated that then with feeling hungry. You see, we're not actually hungry. Our stomach is still full. We have more calories in us than what we need. But it's the rapidity and the degree of drop of this blood sugar from where it started previously then triggers the sensation of hunger again. It's much easier when you're initiating this program to try and stay on a high protein or a high fat diet, because then your blood sugar tends to stay somewhat level. You don't hit those sudden drops that give you that feeling that you want to eat something right away. And therefore it makes it a little easier on yourself. The point is, we want to avoid suffering in all its forms. We don't want to experience suffering in any kind of a program, because otherwise it's not going to work. Counting calories and depriving yourself is setting up a form of suffering. So what happens then is the unconscious guilt gets satisfied. The overindulgence sets up guilt. So then we diet, and that is sort of like self-punitive. You sort of punish yourself by going on bread and water like a prisoner for a certain period of time. Then after we've punished ourselves sufficiently for all this overindulgence in the past, what happens now is the guilt disappears. And once the guilt disappears, then the old eating habit pattern returns. So that overindulgence, feeling guilty, going into a self-punitive, bread and water kind of diet, going to that extreme. So we want to get off that imbalance of extremes. First swinging to the overeating and overindulgence, then swinging into the guilt and the self-punitive deprivation. Deprivation is not the way to happiness, nor is overindulgence. But transcending it and being in the middle of the two, so that you're over and above the problem, so that the adult is there to take over, using consciousness techniques, making it easy, making it enjoyable. It's really delightful to realize that you have just handled that and transcended it. Something that's plagued you your whole lifetime can be handled in a matter of minutes. The first day I tried this, I don't think I spent over a total of 45 minutes sitting down handling those sensations. And the second day, maybe 20 minutes. The third day, maybe 10 minutes. And the next day, maybe 4 minutes. And since that time, I don't think I've spent collectively an hour in the last 10 years. If you take a stopwatch and you start to feel hungry, you start a stopwatch. And then you sit down and you use this technique. And when the hunger feeling is gone, you hit the stopwatch again. If you did that, I don't think you would even collect an hour over a 10-year period of time. So that certainly is not much in the way of effort, not much in the way of suffering. No willpower is involved. Instead of willpower, what we're using instead is willingness. Willingness is a positive energy. It's powerful at 310. And using willpower, resisting, willpower means I will resist this, is a negative energy field, and it has a weak power of only 125. So instead, we're going to be using willingness, acceptance, we're going to be happy about it, happiness rates at about 500. We're going to end up joyful and feeling great about ourselves, feeling wonderful about ourselves. And of course, the body begins to feel wonderful about itself. And so we begin to experience our body in sort of a happy way, a happy way.